Welcome home. We are WNST. AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road all fall long. Got a whole bunch of dates. I got some stuff I'm kind of keeping close to the vest here because, I mean, the Orioles aren't mathematically eliminated yet, so I can't just make my October plans right away. I will have Raven scratch-offs to give away. I have the Pressure Lux and the Lucky Sevens at the Beaumont this week. I got great guests at the Beaumont this week. We get an extra day to talk about the Orioles this week because the Ravens don't play until Monday night against the Detroit Lions. Luke Jones will be very busy this week with football getting into the weekend, and the Ravens sort of move everything back a day. So you'll be hearing from us around the weekend as well as we sit around all day on Sunday and watch football and all day Saturday if you're a college football person out there and you know who you are. Luke, they're still playing baseball. I mean, I know it's hard for some people to get around this, especially in the south side of Chicago, where I'm sure the elotes were delicious. And there's business being done here, even if there's guys coming out of the bullpen that I would lose a bet with Mike Rosigliano about what their first names are because I've never heard of their last names in many cases. This has been a tryout the last 6 weeks, and some guys are passing the test, and other guys like Colton Cowser can inspire and just make you say, you got to be kidding me, all in the same ball game. But you have to be watching this. Not everybody's watching it. I just want to give a little oxygen, especially with the Orioles at Ravens having an extra day this week. Playing to the finish line matters. The back of the bubble card, gum card matters. But Kyle Bradish going out and throwing 88 pitches in 5 innings in September and looking healthy enough to do it. Dude, you and I sat here for 6 months and wonder whether that was going to be possible.
Yeah, I mean, you're at this point in time when you're playing out the string, and the best you can do as it pertains to 2025 is to play spoiler. I mean, they've got what, seven more games with the Yankees here over the last couple weeks of the season, so that's interesting in and of itself as it pertains to the rest of baseball. But if you're the Orioles and you're an Orioles fan, you're looking at what's giving hope and optimism for 2026, and certainly the way that Kyle Bradish has come back and the way he's looked is very encouraging. I mean, you look at, and I get it, it's the White Sox, but 5 innings on Monday night, as people were maybe a little more in tune with Monday Night Football with the doubleheader, but he was pitching and strikes out nine. Command wasn't great. His command's been better in a couple of these starts than it was Monday night, but you see the stuff and you see multiple plus pitches and you're reminded that, oh yeah, this guy finished fourth in Cy Young voting 2 years
It
ago. I
looks
mean,
different than Charlie Morton, Sagano,
anyone else they
Suarez,
have.
any. It just looks different than anything we've seen this side of Burns or Rodriguez when he was right, and Bradish when he was right. And I don't even know if we've seen 5 minutes of anything like this from any of the Cade Povichs or any of them, right? Like, I mean, this is different kind of stuff. And I think we've seen Trevor Rogers the last 6 weeks, left side different.
Yeah.
But the balance of being able to come back with a righty lefty. And look, this is no BS for Katie Griggs or for Mike Elias, who's now the team president, the executive. You got the corner office. Watched a lot of baseball. I mean, you can't sell me and you on bullshit. You know what I mean? Like the next 6 months, we're going to sit here and talk about whether they have a chance next year or whether they don't. And strangely enough, you're tougher on them than I am. I mean, you really have been the last 5 years, 7 years, right? Like, you're just tougher on them than I am in the off season because you're a true believer. And I've sat here for 42 years shaking my head and watching the new owner and have people ask me about it and say, I don't smell anything here that smells great, but when I smell pitching, I know that. And Bradish coming back and Rogers coming back changes the narrative of where you and I were at the All-Star break. And that was 8 weeks ago, but it changes the whole offseason. Now, the bats, different story. Heston Kerstad, all of these names like that could just be going away. Adley Rutschman, I mean, Basayo, all these names. But the pitching, you're going to sell Luke Jones and Nestor Aparicio after 100 years of watching baseball between the two of us, that we're going to sit here in October, November, December, January, and February and carry their water as a potential 90-win team next year. Just a team that can be in the a relevant team, not 102 wins, not wire to wire in this division where everybody's going to spend money And the Red Sox have young talent too. And obviously the Blue Jays are what they are. Saw what that was over the weekend. But the pitching, you and me, I'm a week and a half out and getting through the Yankees. And what I don't care whether they win or lose, about saying if these two guys are their pitchers next year, you can sell me on Henderson and Hope. You can sell me on Holiday. You can sell me on Cowser will bounce back and strike out less, especially with the bases loaded when he's getting hit by a pitch. You could sell me on Rutschman. I mean, you could sell me on any of the guys with the high ceiling, but you can't. Don't BS me about pitching. You know what I mean? Like you. I tried to BS you in the offseason, and you and I got into it until I sat with you and Shinin and Allen, and all you guys are looking at me saying, "Come on, dude, be tougher on them." And I'm like, "With Mr. Rubenstein, you new owner, maybe you get my press pass back." I mean, I wasn't a true believer, but I thought they'd hit the ball a lot better than they've hit the ball.
Well, and if you recall, that's what I was pounding the table about the second week of April, where
April, you were on
you
an
get off to it,
April.
where I was just like, look, I mean, this was never, and this is where I don't want to make this sound like I stand up for Mike Elias in this it, as in this instance, because I didn't like the off season, but they were constructed to be led by their offense, right? The design of the team, the philosophy on what they were supposed to be in 2025 was these young guys taking the next step. And in many cases, guys have stepped backwards, let alone talking about taking a step forward. So that's still going to be a part of this, right? They're going to need guys to come back and be healthy. They're going to need guys to take the next step. Gunnar Henderson still had a really good year in a vacuum. But it hasn't been as good as it was last year. It certainly hasn't been anywhere close to where it was the first half of last year, where, I mean, we were talking about him as being maybe the MVP of the league.
Yeah,
But
it's not leadership level championship quality. They need three of those guys. Every team does.
sure, I
Every
mean,
team that's going to win 100 games. Take any of those Yankees teams with all the big money and all of that that win games.
need
You
multiple
need
guys.
dudes.
Yeah,
Dudes. That's it.
and it can't. And to be clear, and this is where I want to be fair to Henderson, because again, he's had a much better year than most of his contemporaries in that lineup. He can't do it by himself. Mike Trout in Anaheim the last decade plus will prove to you that you can't do it by yourself. I mean, heck, he had Ohtani next to him, and they still weren't any good because they didn't have nearly enough around them. But to go back to what you said about Bradish and Rogers, more and more, it's looking and short of an injury here over the last 2 weeks, heaven forbid anything like that happens. I mean, obviously, you're still seeing, I mean, Albert Suarez was just put back on the IL with an elbow issue now, right? I mean, it's baseball. It's 2025 in baseball. It's arm injuries across everywhere. But
And Suarez is like closer to my age than yours, you know? I mean, you know,
not quite, but he's certainly up there in age. But
Lo siento, mi amigo.
I think when you look at Bradish and Rogers now, and here's the difference between looking at those two now compared to July, where at that point you're saying, okay, Rogers, man, this is looking good. We'll see about Bradish. He's getting ready to go out on his rehab assignment. Back in June, you were saying, all right, Bradish is on schedule, but is it August? Is it September? And Rogers has looked good for a few starts, but let's see what it looks like as he continues to get the ball every fifth day. Now, as you're at the point where Trevor Rogers has done this for 3 months now, right? It hasn't been a whole season. It hasn't been 3 seasons. I get
Most
that.
important thing
But
about it, you know what it is? It's right now.
sure.
It's not 2017 or
Sure.
2021 or during the COVID or a year and a half ago or what Grayson was doing 2 years ago or like it's what's current. What's current right now is Adley Rutschman's not a 1-1. What's current right now is I wouldn't give Gunnar Henderson $500 million and say he's a dude for sure. Bet my life on it. I don't, you know, I would I, like Westberg can't get stay on the field. Couser's got holes in his swings. Jackson Holliday, you know, okay. Bisaccia, they already signed him. There's nothing to
Yeah.
talk about with Bisaccia, just other where he's going to play, right? So we don't have a lot of debate here in the offseason. I mean, Tyler O'Neill, they gave him $1 million. They're going to put him in right field and they cross their fingers and try to keep him out of the weight room, keep him off the protein shakes. You know, like I don't, the debate here is going to be how much money David Rubenstein's going to spend. Mike Elias's power over all of this and what he's going to do and what they're going to do with this young talent, which is a little beaten up, man. It's a little like back in the back of the grocery store where stuff's 3 days old, and you're like, what are you gonna, I mean, what are you getting in deals for anybody that isn't good enough to think that he's gonna hit 280 in the big leagues and be that 20 to 40 home run guy, depending on what you think he's gonna be.
Right.
If these guys are gonna hit 231 and not draw walks and strike out 150 times a year, can't win with that, dude, even with good pitching.
Agreed, but that's where I think you have to look at who is the manager going to be, who are the coaches going to be. And I think that's where you look at this. That's why, and look, people will point out this club has played okay under Tony Mancino in the big picture sense that, think about it, they were 18 games under 500 May 23rd or 24th, whatever it
Well, and if
was.
they didn't
They're
fire Brandon Hyde, how would it have been different or
right.
better or whatever,
Sure. I mean,
right?
who knows? But that said, and I don't
Brandon
think,
Hyde wasn't a bad manager, by the way. I just want to stand up for him for 30 seconds.
I mean, it's, look, are there bad managers in baseball? Have there been bad managers in the history of baseball? Yes, of course. Have there been plenty of managers that are the first to go because you can't fire the entire roster or you can't fire the entire front office in the middle of the
Yeah,
season?
he was a genius 2 years ago when
Exactly.
Bradish's arm
So,
was on, right,
but my point, the point that I'm trying to make is when you have young players that you're mentioning, and as you mentioned, they're guys that are weathered in some way, dented cans in some way, whatever, however you want to look at it. I mean, there are guys that have taken some lumps. There's no doubt about it, right? And guys that are complete unknowns still, like Kobe Mayo, for example, who has had a couple stretches where he's looked good, and then he's had a lot where he's looked lost. But he's also 23. I saw someone on social media, just an informed, educated Orioles fan, noted that go look at Chris Davis's developmental timeline from the time he was with the Rangers to being traded with the Orioles to eventually becoming the guy that hit 35, 40, 50 home runs.
Look at the
It's
back
not
of Ryan
linear.
O'Hearn's bubblegum card, and you
It's
may
not
see Kobe
linear.
Mayo.
So,
But Kobe
right.
Mayo may wind up doing it with the Giants in
He could.
2029,
He
right?
might. He might. Right. So, but that's for me, rather than looking at all these young players and saying, okay, well, that guy hasn't worked out. That guy hasn't worked out. That guy. And look, let's be clear. There might be one or two from the group. And Heston Kerstad, I mean, again, the mystery behind that, how poorly he fared this year. He might be the guy that I'm not really penciling in any meaningful way unless he comes to spring training and looks different, right? In the same way that, like right now, I can't plan for Grayson Rodriguez to be in the top three or four of my rotation. But if he is healthy, he's going to be in that group. I can't plan for it, but he's going to be in that group. It's not like I'm just going to say, oh, no, Grayson, we don't want you
Well,
anymore,
you can
right?
plan on all of
So,
these guys' ceilings, right? We
sure.
all, they all, they're all first-round draft picks. They all have huge ceilings. I just, this is where it brings me to
That's where you need the
Bradish's
pick.
arm being good right now
Sure.
and guys that are doing
Well,
it right now in the big leagues right now. That's all I can judge it
sure.
on. All the rest of it, this speculative nonsense, the speculation is what put Stowers in Miami. He was the first guy off the boat. He was the first guy they didn't believe in anymore. All the rest of these guys, they believed in a lot more. It would have been
Yeah,
heresy to throw Kobe Mayo in that deal a year ago.
but I would also say Kyle Stowers is also why you don't give up on these other guys. Because if you bring in a new hitting coach or new hitting coaches, or you, whoever, and I'll touch on the Elias becoming president of baseball operations thing. I'm pretty whatever for that. I think if you look, and I don't mean that as disrespect to him or to anyone who is a president of baseball operations. I think it's more title inflation than anything else. I think if you look around many front offices around baseball, and I'll use the Phillies because they're close. They just clinched the NL East, and as you know, I have a brother-in-law who's a rabid Philadelphia sports fan. If you ask anyone who runs the show for the Phillies, they'd tell you Dave Dombrowski, right? They have no idea that Preston Mattingly is their general manager, right? I mean, so I think unless we find out different, unless there's something unique about this circumstance, other than the fact that the Orioles quietly did this last winter without
Well,
making
the
an
Orioles
announcement.
had no formal structure in the Angelos family
Sure,
in
sure.
any real capacity of having two general managers back to Dan
Sure.
Duquette
Well, and if
and
you recall, Peter, after Pat Gillick, Peter didn't like calling anyone a general manager. It was always a different title. I mean, Dan Duquette was executive vice president of baseball operations, right? I mean, it was never. So you have some of this. And I guess the point I'm trying to make is I think most teams do something like this to prevent some other team from doing what Toronto tried to do with Dan Duquette a decade ago, which is poach him. Because if you're just, quote, just a general manager, another team can come calling and say, hey, we're going to make you president of baseball operations. And that technically is a promotion. And we can technically hire you away then. So I think this is more that. Now, that said, it's an opportunity to bring in another bright mind. Maybe someone that has a little more experience, maybe someone that's been a general manager at some other point in time, and maybe it didn't go great, but it's still someone who has value that, hey, this is someone that might be able to help us with this aspect of roster building, or maybe it's someone who had made some good trades once upon a time in a front office working for someone else, right? So you know, you have that part of it. So we're going to see how the dust settles there. Obviously, it's going to be someone of note, because you're not just going to hire, you know, it's not just going to be some intern that they hire to be a general manager. You think about their current structure. It's Mike Elias, Sig Meidel, and Eve Rosenbaum are their assistant general managers. So are they going to promote one of them to general manager in a way to give them a tip of the cap? Or are you going to hire someone from the outside, right? You and I have talked about this from the time that they
Eve
fired Hyde.
Rosenbaum is the one who's on the climb, right?
Sure. I mean,
Like
she's,
Kim Ng
I mean,
was, and
yeah, I mean, they have. I mean, this is again where you don't want to throw out the baby with the bathwater, in the sense that they've done a lot of good things. To your point, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, when this all completely fell apart, crashed and burned under the Duquette, you know, the end of the Duquette era, there was no structure. You know, they had a very tiny, almost non-existent analytics department, right? So they've built out things.
They
They've
also had a really weird thing with Brady Anderson and John. I mean,
Sure, yeah. I mean, it was just, it
all
was
of the Rick
weird.
Dempsey and, that whole pipeline of who's doing what, who's
Oh.
telling who what, who trusts who, can Buck get Rick Dempsey on his side for the television broadcast?
Right. It was
Like
dysfunctional. I mean, they won in spite
it's
of
still
that.
dysfunctional.
Yeah,
I mean, I talked to Jim Palmer this summer. It's still dysfunctional. It's
but
dysfunctional.
I, fair enough. I
They're
it's
last
dysfunctional.
place.
It's dysfunctional in ways. The point is, there was no structure whatsoever at that point in time. It's more functional in certain way, at least in certain
Dude, they have
aspects now than
failing
it was.
players, a lame duck manager. They got their manager fired. They finished in last place. Their owner doesn't know anything about baseball. I'm hearing Eric Geddes really running everything, by the way. So if anybody asked me about Rubenstein, I'd be like, look into Arrighetti because he's the young guy. He's the guy that's going to own this team. He's the guy that is overseeing lots of things because Rubenstein's there to get a bobblehead, dude. I mean, like, it's pretty obvious a year and a half into this, he ain't Larry Locchino. So, and neither is Katie Griggs,
Did
by
they
the
have
way, so far, you know?
my point I'm trying to make, and they do have more structure than they had a decade ago, because they did not have an analytics department
They
a
didn't have an
decade ago.
international
They did
scouting
not
program.
have a Dominican baseball academy a decade ago. That's what I'm trying to say here. Okay. I'm not, you're casting it in a
I'm
black or
trying
white
to say
thing. I'm
whether
trying
they
to
know
say,
how to get a pitching coach, a hitting coach, hire a manager. This guy hasn't hired. He hired one manager. He hired Brandon Hyde to be a lame duck guy to lose 110 games for 3 years and then get to hire his guy. And what's going to be, we're going to wait until all of our young guys are ready to bloom and then we're going to spend money when the old man's dead. They talked about this 4 years ago, right? So now all of this, oh, and we're going to use the citizens' money to move the Jim Henneman press box into left field, and we're going to build a perch, and we're going to get an all-star game, and we're going to build a battery, and we're. Yeah, I haven't figured out that they even know how to make a baseball team yet. Now, I just gave them all the credit in the world that these two
I mean, they did
pitchers.
win 101 games 2 years ago, Nestor. I mean, see, this is where you're losing credibility with your argument, because it goes from so much being good until to everything is terrible, right? I mean, there are shades of gray here. There are positive elements of
There's a
what they've
season and a
done.
half of Adley Rutschman to have questions. There's two seasons of Colton
I'm not
Gausert.
arguing otherwise. But when you just go from everything is great to everything is terrible, and there's no nuance in your argument, like, you know,
Well,
like you're
they're a
saying.
last place operation right
Of
now,
course they are.
and I'm trying to pick the pieces up of their lineup to say, why do you believe in Stowers or not believe in Stowers, or and
you
when the
just said they don't
trades.
know how to put together a roster when they just won 101 games 2 years ago. Now, did they put together a good 2025 roster? No, we all agree on that. The point I was trying to make is it's not necessarily that it went from all being good to all is terrible and then you just blow everything up. I mean, if that were the case, then yeah, fire everyone, sure. You know, go hire, I don't even know who you would hire, right? But the point I was trying to make is they do have more structure than they had 7 years ago, 8 years ago. They've made a lot of important strides in ways that help get them to the point that they were last year, the year before. And yes, they have leaked oil and they have taken on water. Use whatever metaphor you want to use in terms of things going very badly over the last calendar
Dude, what
year.
player on this roster has a thumbs up right now that's rising?
Gunnar Henderson
Holiday?
still does. I mean, like, Gunnar Henderson, we're still talking about someone who's one of the best shortstops in the league. I mean, now, that said,
He has to come out and prove it to me next year now that he's not a 265 hitter and a, I don't
I mean,
know. I mean,
what do
Scott
you think?
Rolen's in the
Like,
Hall of Fame, and I never thought, I never thought, like, man, I want him to be my guy, but maybe I grew up watching Brooks and
mean, don't
Schmidt
get
and
me wrong.
whatever.
I don't want to make. I don't want to make this about sticking up. Like, Gunnar Henderson has still been like a top eight shortstop in baseball this year. I mean, like, and don't get
I'm
me
not
wrong.
anti guy. I believe in him. He's going to
Sure.
get 580
Well,
at bats next
you
year.
just asked me who I believe in. I still believe in Gunnar Henderson big time because he's still been a really good player this year. Has he been the best version of himself? No, but you know, we're not talking about Adley Rutschman, who's become, you know, this year he profiled more as like a plus defense and very, very mediocre offensive catcher. I mean, that's not a 1-1. But you know, to answer your question, and you know, taking a deep breath here for a moment.
No, take Henderson's best year and blink it and make it next year, and I'm in, and I'll
Okay.
believe that. I'll sell that. I'll
I guess
carry Katie Griggs and Mike Elias's water all
my
winter
point.
that's possible. I'm not fighting you on that.
Sure.
I'm fighting you on all the rest of it.
And that's fine.
Literally.
I guess
Yeah.
my point would be if you don't believe in Gunnar Henderson, then there is no hope for this team
Oh,
because
no.
he's still been ex not let me rephrase that. Relative to expectations, yes, it's been underwhelming, and I still think him having a rib cage issue in spring training probably put him on a path to not being the best version of himself. But when you look at what he's done compared to a lot of these guys, and he posts up, he's played every day since the first week of the season, basically. He's the least of their problems. But yeah, like to answer your question, Adley Rutschman, yeah, my confidence in him is down. Jackson Holliday, I think mostly I feel okay. Like he certainly has been way better than he was last year. It's been nice to see him have a September like he's had after July and August weren't very good for him whatsoever. But am I seeing enough that has me excited that this guy is a dynamic 1-1 talent that's going to be a guy that gets MVP votes over the next few years? I still need to see way more if I'm going to put him in that category.
See,
I
I
love
believe in him more than you do. So if we're going to fight
that's
about
fine.
him,
Well,
like, to me, there's 1,800 at bats
he's
next year.
21. I mean, I understand
Well,
that.
Henderson, Holiday, and Basayo, because now that they've paid him and he's here, I'm assuming he's here. I'm assuming he's not
Yeah.
going back anywhere, right? So if he's here, he's going to play, catch, first base, DA, whatever they're going to do with him, right? That he will get at bats next year. There's your 1,800 at bats for me. Westberg, I'd love to give him 600 at bats. I don't know that he makes it to the post, and I believe in him as much as
Yeah.
any of the guy. I mean, he's my
That's
Rich
been the
Gower, he's my
frustrating one.
gamer guy, you know. But I don't know what to say about him. But all the rest of it, you're going to convince me. Tyler O'Neill, Kobe Mayo, Heston Kerstad, take the field. I mean, just like a horse race, take every other player in the organization not named Henderson, Holiday, and I'm even giving Basayo the benefit of the doubt. It's only because they paid him, because he's no different than a Kobe Mayo or any of the rest of these guys at this point, other than he's got $80 million behind him.
And he is
And,
way younger. Yeah.
but I mean, they were all high ceiling guys. They were all, we're going to hit
Fair
35,
enough.
40 home runs. They were all 1-1s. They were all at least going to be Nick Markakis if we're putting that bench line in to be a 20 home run, 275, a really good major league ball player that draws walks, plays good defense. I mean, all the intangible parts, whether their arm is a right field arm or a left field arm, you know, whether they were center fielder, which makes them, you know, Couser or Mullins or those kind of guys. But just, you and I watched a lot of baseball here. I'm trying to, And we're going to sit here in October, and you and I'll be the only ones sitting here watching baseball at 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 7 o'clock, Toronto, Philadelphia, my brother-in-law. Oh, you know, it's on my timeline all day, and I'll see good baseball and good baseball teams. And the whole month, I'll think, all right, Orioles got to go out and play to get to this next year. Who are their, I'd be like, Buck, who are their pile divers? Who are the pile divers? And that's where my question is, because I thought they were all pile divers the day they were drafted, right? Right? They're all one
Sure.
ones.
I mean,
We love them all.
you always want to believe in your guys when you draft them. I mean, everyone love, yeah, you know, that's why I always laugh at draft grades 2 days after the NFL draft. I mean, you know, I mean, and you end up seeing the grades being like, oh, it's all A's and B's. But, you know, to answer your question, I mean, Rutschman's going to be the catcher if he's healthy. I mean, that's the big thing that suddenly, you know, it was one thing to talk about the second half of last year or the performance over the first 2.5 months of this year offensively. You start to question durability now. I mean, two different oblique injuries in the same year. I mean, he's got to get himself in better shape. And, you know, that's a big piece of this that I don't expect, you know, if and when Elias is asked the question, that he's going to go into great detail about it. But I really have major questions about their strength and conditioning. I mean, they have had, put aside the arm injuries for pitchers, because that's everywhere. No one has a clue how to keep pitchers healthy. I mean, the Dodgers, you know, the Dodgers spend more money than anyone, and look at what their rotation is looking like in the openers, and we saw last October and all that. So put that part of it aside, which I'm not diminishing that. It's just I've got nothing on that, right? In the same way that no one in baseball, anyone in baseball who's way smarter than I am, has no answer for you that's satisfactory. But they've had a lot of soft tissue, hamstrings, obliques, things of that nature, where I just ask, like, these guys are in their early to mid-20s. You know, we're not talking about, like, you think of like a out of shape
Me at
30,
Planet
30.
Fitness trying to
Yeah, like, you
train
know,
so I
like,
can bring groceries in. Right.
yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously that for me is a piece to this. But if you're looking at next year, Rutschman at catcher, Bisaio as the other catcher slash first base slash
So how do you
DH.
get both of them, what, 450 at
I think
bats?
to
And
me, it's
then you're
pretty.
going to give both of them off once or twice a week,
No,
kind of, sort of. I mean,
I
that's its
think.
own story, is how they're going to handle the catching and how they really feel about Bisaio as a
Well, you're.
catcher, whether he's really going to hit or not, because we don't know. And Rutschman, we don't know if he's going to hit and whether he's going to be Rutschman again, right?
I mean,
This
we
is a
haven't.
nightmare conversation if you and I were in Arlington when they were treating me like I had to
Sure.
drink out of the back water fountain there, and Mark Viviano was, telling me to tell him off. If on that plane ride home, we were 23 months out on that now, right? Less than 2 years out
Yeah.
on that. If we were to have written a script of disaster for the organization, and keep in mind, Peter was alive then, John Boy was in the locker room. I mean, there was a lot of things happening there. There was no Mr. Rubenstein, no Mr.
Right.
Arrighetti, none of that existed. That in this 2 year period of time, that they would atrophy their Bobby Witts. You know what I mean? Whoever their guys are, it'd be like looking up at the Ravens and seeing Lamar, Flowers, Hamilton, no good. And if they're no good, you're the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
And that's their last place. They're in last place, and I'm not going to treat them like a team that won 101 games 2 years ago, because I can't look at Adley Rutschman as what he was 2 years ago, or Grayson Rodriguez,
You
or
kind of
even.
have to, though. Like, what's the alternative? I mean, are you just going to get rid of all these young guys? You know what I mean? Like, you kind of, as I've said this all year long,
I'll be
there
stunned
is
if they deal Rutschman, but I don't,
no,
right?
but in a general sense, there is no path for them to contend without a large chunk of this young core to be some version of a success, right? Whether that means Gunnar Henderson being an MVP, Adley Rutschman returning to at least fringe all-star catcher form, Jackson Holliday looking like a 1-1, Samuel Bisaio, regardless of what he blossoms into as a ceiling, at least next year looks like a guy that you're really happy that you extended.
How many
You know,
former All-Stars do they have? I mean, I'm just as
you
something
mean
that's
it?
a talking point for Rock Kabacka, right? Former All-Stars, right? Like, if we're talking about Westberg,
Rutschman
Rutschman,
twice, Gunnar
right?
Henderson once, Westberg once. I mean, that's,
I
that's
mean, so the
Yennier Cano as a setup man was an all-star a couple years ago. But that's where you can't, like there's no path to addressing every single concern you have, other than, that's why I said with these young guys, that's why go hire a great manager,
get in shape. You're
go hire hitting
25,
coaches
right?
that, yeah.
We
So,
still
but
believe in you. We have to
yeah,
believe in
and
you.
that's the thing.
We're
You don't
not
have a
going out in the
choice.
market and
Like,
buying a new third baseman to replace. We're just
no,
not, right?
that, I mean, it's one thing to talk about Grayson Rodriguez, not planning for him, but you can't not plan for half of your everyday lineup, right? I mean, you have to say, hey, these guys are going to sink or swim. But, we've kind of been, you asked me about who am I counting on in
Yes,
that
whether we
way.
believe in it or not, who do you still believe in?
Rutschman's a catcher. I think, and you asked me about those two guys. You have a third catcher on the roster, and it's not that, oh wow, that creates a no. You view it through the lens that Basayo is going. You view it through the lens that Basayo is either your everyday first baseman or DH, but he's also going to catch twice a week, three times a week, whatever it is. And then you have Alex Jackson or whoever your third, Maverick Hanley, whoever you want your third catcher to be.
Well,
Or you
ideally, in
go
the
get
old
someone.
world, you would Basayo, you'd match up with a pitcher or two
Sure.
that make, you know,
And maybe you
that
do
it
it that
makes
way.
sense,
Yeah,
right?
maybe you do it that way. And if you had a chance to watch Monday's game specifically, I mean, Ben McDonald said, and I get it, Ben's going to be positive. He's talking about the club, he's on Masson, but he made the point that he thinks Basayo has been a little better as a catcher than he thought he might be. So does that mean he's going to become a permanent catcher? I don't think Samuel Basayo is going to be a guy that catches 130 games a year. I like, even in a world where they trade Adley Rutschman, and I think he's going to be someone who profiles a little more like, catches part-time catcher, part-time first baseman, and probably 5 years down the line transitions to first base DH, right? I mean, Victor Martinez was a guy like that. I mean, you kind of think about some guys who did that over the
That's
course of their
new
career.
age.
But he's got a hit.
That, but that is a new age concept
Well, they love versatility.
that
I
you
mean, they
can
do.
catch, you know, that, and BJ Surhoff was, you know, like all these guys, Gary Carter and Dale Murphy, and you know, guys that, like, great hitters, great players that you need in there. I mean, Ohtani's like, they let him pitch, right? We got a football
I mean,
player playing two-way now, right?
he's a
Like,
one of one. I mean, but yeah, I
he.
mean, you like versatility, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. But rest of the lineup, I mean, look, Kobe Mayo, you can't count on to be your everyday first baseman at this point in time. That's tough because he's 23. As I pointed out to you, I mean, like, just using Chris Davis as one example, and I'm not saying he's going to become Chris Davis or he's the same exact player. He's not. Development's not linear. As much as you'd love it to be, and that's why when you hear these 5-year plans for organizations, you kind of just laugh. But, has Kobe Mayo played at a level over the last 2 months where he's played every day to pencil him in and say, I'm going to start him 140 times a year? Not really. So what do you do with him, right? I mean, I'm not saying his value, I don't think his value is non-existent either. I think other teams would say, have the same conversation the Orioles are having, or you and I are having right now. Still potential. You still like the fact that he's young. He seems to have made some strides defensively as a first
Guys that
baseman,
have the ability to hit
but
35 home runs, it's like a guy with a 100 mile an hour, you know, pitch. It's,
yeah, you don't
he's
want to
got
give up on
stuff.
him,
Yeah, you're like, we can fix him. We can fix him,
but you
right?
don't know. And it's not even necessarily like, quote, fix. It's just like, it's development. It's tough. Like, this is really hard at the major league level. Like, you hear it, and it's cliche, the jump from Triple A to the majors. But I see enough people, smart people around the game, not just Orioles people by any means, that talk about how challenging that can be. So what do you do with him? And at the same time, can you just afford to pencil him in? I say no right now. Now, that doesn't mean I don't want him on my roster, that I must trade him, but I've got to have a contingency plan there. And it might just be as simple as Samuel Basayo might just become much more of the regular first baseman if it comes down to that. But there's some unknown there. I'm projecting. You project him to be a great, really good hitter, but until he does it, they're still unknown. In the rest of the infield's easy. Holiday at second, Gunnar at short. No problems there. I mean, regardless of whether you want, you certainly want better performance out of those guys compared to this year. Take the next step. Westberg, same thing. Like, Westbrook's put up good numbers this year when he's been in there. I mean, he has a 799 OPS. He has 15 home runs and 304 plate appearances. You project that out to a 162 game season, and you'd love those numbers. But man, you got to stay on the field. And I get it. Some of it has been fluky stuff. I mean, last year, he had his hand fractured by a pitch, right? I mean, there's no, oh, you're not in shape for
Yeah, there's
that,
your
right?
comparison to Markakis right there, right?
But he's got to stay on the field. Like, he can't have a hamstring injury like he had earlier this year, right? You've got to stay on the field. You're too important. Outfield, I think, is interesting because, you and I have used Colton Cowser as like a fun case study to kind of just debate and go back and forth over. But I'll be honest with you, I kind of feel better about Dillon Beavers right now. And it's been a small sample, but have you seen his walk numbers? I mean, this kid has, and he's fallen off a little bit with the bat in terms of the production, bat to ball production,
He's been in the big leagues 3 weeks.
but he has a 421 on base percentage. He has 20 walks in 96 plate appearances. He has more walks than Dylan Carlson, who's played 2.5 times more than him this year. He has more walks than Ryan Mountcastle, who has over 300 plate appearances. So that's not to say he's a perfect known commodity at this point in time, but I feel better. I'm more encouraged by what I've seen from him. Now, Cowser, that doesn't mean I'm giving up on him, but my goodness, man, he's got 114 strikeouts and 325 plate appearances. And you know me, I'm not a guy that minds strikeouts, but there's a point that comes to a point, and you can cite guys around baseball who strike out a ton. Kyle Schwarber struck out a ton in his career. But you know what makes Kyle Schwarber great? In addition to, yeah, he does strike out more than a lot of players, but he also hits a ton of home runs and he walks a ton. So, he's the epitome of a three true outcome kind of player in the modern day. But, with Cowser, it's not as though he has no value whatsoever. And like I'm saying, get rid of him or any of that. But man, got to figure that out because, they're already at a point where they need to go get an outfielder, right? And I'll continue to say that. I mean, if their opening day outfield is Dillon Beavers, Colton Cowser, and Tyler O'Neill, then double thumbs down on the offseason, right? You need an outfielder. It's got to be someone. Doesn't
See,
have to
you
be
wouldn't have
someone who's.
taken Laureano seriously, but you take that production.
I mean, we're
What
going to
does that
see.
mean? They need to sign somebody that's going to hit 270 with 25 home
Well, and I
runs,
think
drive in 80 to 100 runs, and walk
I'd like, and
be,
ideally,
yeah.
it'd be someone that can play a little bit of center field for you too. Because I mean, the way Cowser's trending, don't get me wrong, he's in my opening day lineup. I unless it's a left-hander,
So you're going to give him
and
600 at bats next year, let him strike out 194 times and hit 221
well,
and
not
like.
600 at bats because you don't have to view it through that lens. I mean, it's what we talked about a couple years ago when we were talking about Cowser and Stowers joining their incumbent outfielders, where my idea was always like Anthony Santander and Cedric Mullins and Austin Hayes. Like these don't have to be 155 start guys. Like they're not that good, that great that they must be in the lineup every day. And that's where I kind of view this through the lens of, yeah, you need to go get at least one other outfielder. I mean, you might need two.
Well, dude, they went and
So,
got Laureano and didn't think he would play that
and
much,
he
and he
was,
went and he played
well,
every
and
day,
that's
and
where you
they.
kind of look at it. It's like, man, maybe they should have just kept him, right? I mean, so, and I get it. It's sweetened the pot from the deal they got from the Padres, but is anyone in that deal going to help you this coming
Well,
year?
they think that relief pitcher, so.
So we'll see, but that's kind of where it is. It's funny because you asked me about Bradish and Rogers, and I know that was 15 minutes ago. But the point that makes me encouraged about them too is when you watch those two right now, and I don't know, and I'm not really even hung up on, you know me, I'm not hung up on the number one starter, number two starter, number three, number four, number five. To me, you group it in, who are your top half guys that you would say, I feel pretty confident about them starting a playoff game? And who are the guys that are filling out the back of your rotation, right? The Dean Kramers, right? The Kyle Gibson a few years ago, certainly not Kyle Gibson this year. But the thing that excites me about what we're seeing from Bradish and Rogers is you are seeing two guys that look like any of these combinations a 1 and a 2, a 1 and a 3, or a 2 and a 3. No matter how you want to proceed this offseason. And notice when I said that, I'm saying you still need to go out there and get a very legitimate top half, a number one, a number two, or a number three. I'd really prefer it to be a one or a two. I don't love the saying Bradish and Rodgers are one and two, but if Kyle Bradish is right, he's a one. I mean, he just is. Like the
And
stuff.
by the way, I'm not gonna. They're gonna pitch against the Yankees here at some point here. I
Sure, I mean,
soon,
and
right? Because
I
we're
want to
playing
see it.
seven games against them, right? So
Okay, I'll see how it looks.
seeing how they go compete
Sure.
in that way. I'm not, dude. There's 10 days left in the season.
Right,
I
and you don't want to make too
and I
much of
just
it
don't
one
want
way
their
or the
arms to
other.
fall off, right? I mean, if Bradish goes out
Sure.
and gives up 7 runs and 3 2/3 against the Yankees, I don't think he's broken as long as his arm doesn't hurt the next day.
Right, as long as his velocity is not down 4 miles per hour and he's not talking about his elbow or
Yeah,
his
and then nobody's
forearm
getting their
hurting him.
feelings hurt here.
Yeah.
It's grapefruit ball with some juice the next
Sure.
10 days.
Of
That's what it is.
course, of course. And again, that's where I kind of go to my point about Kobe Mayo though being disappointing, because it's like, from the time they traded O'Hearn, Kobe Mayo has played just about every day and it hasn't been very good. I mean, it just hasn't. Now, here of late, like the last four games as you and I are speaking now, he's looked like he's made a couple of adjustments and it's
Well,
looked
good. Hit
better,
three home runs against the Yankees and drive in 12 runs and win a
but even
game
like,
and,
is that
you
enough? You know what I mean? That's such a small sample. So
I
it's
haven't
just,
seen anything from him that leads me to be anything the way the highlights looked in Norfolk a year and a half ago.
that's fair. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about that. Like he had the stretch earlier in the summer. We had like a 3 week stretch where I thought, hey, it's starting to look better. He's having better at bats. He's drawn some walks. He's hitting the ball with some authority. And then remember, they kind of went through that period where they stopped playing him, which I thought was just dumb. I don't get that. But I also know at that point in time they were still trying to work with him to make some adjustments behind the scenes. He narrowed his stance a little bit. Was a little more upright, I believe. But they've done different things with the toe tap. They've done that with multiple guys, right? So. But he's another guy. Like I mentioned, whether you're talking about Rutschman or Kowser, he's another guy where it's like, man, I'd love to see a new, it's not even just a new hitting coach, because most of these teams have more than one. I mean, the
New
Orioles have
approach,
three.
right?
I'd
Yeah.
like to see fresh eyes on him in the same way that fresh eyes were a godsend for Kyle Stowers. And look, that doesn't mean that all these guys are going to figure it out all along. Yeah, and we've talked about this. I mean, go look at the history of first round picks. Go look at the history of number one overall picks in this game. Tim Beckham, who spent 2 years with the Orioles, he was the first overall pick. He was absolutely a disappointment, right? I mean, it happens. And that was the Rays, who were way smarter than a lot of teams out there, in spite of their ownership and lack of financial means. So that doesn't mean that everyone's going to figure it out, but that's where I go back to. Hire a manager, hire a coaching staff. Do not get caught up in, they played 8 games over 500 since late May, and no. It's been admirable that I will say this, and this is where I'll give the current team a nod, and I'll give Mancini a nod. Considering how much they traded at the deadline, the fact that they have basically played 500 since then, I do think is a testament to them. Because to your point, you don't even recognize the names in the bullpen on a day by day, week by week basis. I mean, a couple guys, Dedrick Ens has looked pretty good. I think Cade Stroud has looked pretty good. Like, those are the guys that going into the spring, I say, hey, they could be part of the bullpen. You better go out and get a couple legit dudes for the back end. But, they've done well enough. They've acquitted themselves well to the point where I could see those guys being in the pen next year. But, all that being said, I think we all thought when they gutted this roster on July 31st, I think we all thought it's possible this team could end up losing 95, 100
Yeah,
games.
dude,
And they
they were a
didn't.
last place team
And they
with those
didn't.
guys.
Right. And they didn't. And they played. And believe me, this isn't me throwing a parade for them either. I understand, like, hey, part of this is also the pressure's off and you're not in a pennant race. And, it is basically like you said, it's kind of a more competitive form of spring training. I'm not going to argue with any of that,
Well, they're playing
but
the real New York Yankees this week, so,
sure.
right?
Well, and they played the real Toronto Blue Jays over the weekend, and you were reminded that, oh yeah, they have a heck of a lot of work to do to this bullpen. I mean, the bullpen is, I've got next to
It's
nothing for you.
tryouts. That's all. I mean, it's
Like
literally
I said,
tryouts. And we knew that. That's why
sure.
them winning any games the last 2 months,
Has been
and
like,
yeah.
yeah.
And
But like I
they
said,
are because Bradish and Rodgers look like what we began the conversation, which is, do we have hope this winter or not? And what would give us more hope that a last place team can become what, and I'll wrap with this, what my 75 Colts were, worst to first.
yeah.
Because that's what that story would be here. If they come back out next year and Henderson hits 311 with 41 home runs and is unstoppable, and Rutschman finds the fountain of his ability and hits 28 home runs and drives in 91 runs and hits 274, and Bisaccia emerges,
Sayo's a
hits
dude.
265 and 18 home runs and looks like he's on the path. Jackson Holliday, solid 274, 19 home runs, 54 RBIs, draws some walks, plays some.
I hope it's
Like,
more than
that's
that.
what
I
it
mean,
has to be.
but that's what Holiday has been this year. I mean,
He's 22 years old. I'm not putting 40 home runs on that. I'm not making him Joe Morgan
well, he
right
needs to be
now.
better than he was this year, though, because then I start to look at it and say, well, he wasn't a 1-1 then. You know, like that. Yes, heavy is the crown, right? As far as the expectations. But no, I hear what you're saying. And look, I hope there's also another bat that they acquire this offseason via trade, signing, whatever, that fits into that. Doesn't have to be the best player on the team, but someone that can solidify the outfield or someone that can solidify the middle of the lineup. I mean, you see the lineups that they're trotting out there. I mean, on any given night, I mean, Tyler O'Neill, he's back, God bless, right? Until he's not, but I mean, he shouldn't be the cleanup hitter. And I suppose you could say based off of how many home runs he hit last year, but they've had nights where Emmanuel Rivera is their cleanup hitter. They've had nights where I mean, you just kind of look at the
Emmanuel
names.
Rivera helps him walk him off. I've watched
Hey,
this. I've
he
witnessed
did. He
this.
did. But they've got a lot of work to do. There's no doubt. The pitching is the big headline for the, and I just saw Ken Rosenthal echo this again on MLB Network or whatever it was, FS1, it was one of the talking head shows that he was a guest on. So everyone's going to talk about the pitching, and understandably so. I get that. They have, especially the bullpen, there's a ton of work, but there's also substantial work to do to the rotation. But I'm sorry. If they just sit there and say, lineup wise, we're good, oh, I don't like that at all.
Well,
Like,
you're a last place team.
you
There's a
need to
lot of
go get
work.
a legit bat. I mean, you got to get a legit bat and then do everything you can, exhaust every resource you have in terms of hiring coaches and revamping player development, all of that to get this young core, more of these guys firing in the right direction. And if you do that, that's a lot of it, a lot of ifs there, a lot of ifs and buts. But if you do that, there's no reason this team can't be back in contention because, hey, they've been eight. Yeah, they've been in the territory of 8, 9, 10 games over 500 since late May. You play like that kind of team, they're in wild card contention right now. We're talking about them being having a chance still at this point in time. So, and that's with this flawed roster. So it speaks to, yeah, there absolutely is a path, but boy, Mike Elias has to go out. New president of baseball operations, Mike Elias, needs to go out there and have a heck of an offseason. Certainly way better than the last couple.
The Peter Principles promoting to the point. Yeah, you can Google that. He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore. Like it always comes back, man. It always comes. I work hard to be clever, but sometimes it's easy. I don't know. Sometimes it just comes to me. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I will have Ravens scratch-offs. I do have my last chance to say whammy, whammy. I don't want to put the whammy on the Orioles, but they have felt like a last place team every day of the last 6 months around here for me, despite the 8 games over 500 or whatever they've been since May. We don't talk about them a lot. We just did for a long period of time. We're going to get back to football. Ravens getting ready for the Detroit Lions. Luke will put his purple cap back on. Easy to do. I am counting down my 27 favorite things to eat. One of them I just devoured here during this segment. It's all brought to you by our friends at Curio Wellness. Gives me a chance to break in. I don't know how often I'm going to wear the orange Curio shirt here in the offseason, the t-shirt, but I'm hoping that every time there's breaking news, we'll send it out on the WNST text service. Brought to you by Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. I also want to thank my friends at GBMC. Luke, I don't want to brag about my colonoscopy, but I do have a date. So, like, I have a date now. So, for everybody out there that has been concerned, that has heard me talk to Dr. Hiscari and have him tell me, like, You're 56. You haven't had a colonoscopy. What's wrong with you? You've had Tim Brown on the show 5 times. You've had 5 Pro Football Hall of Famers yell at you about your number and about getting your ass in there. And now I'm finally doing it. So I'm going to wind up texting, all the dudes in my phone who've yelled at me about this. So thank you, GBMC. You'll be hearing the ad, seeing everything out at Baltimore Positive. You'll also be hearing some conversations this week about acid reflux and some other things that are kind of normal things, but ask a doctor, get answers. Don't go to AI in the internet. Go to GBMC. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore Positive. And at some point I'll get my physical, I swear. Though I feel good.